So ordination is a God thing. It's not a church thing. It is kind of a church thing, but it's a God thing. He's the one that set this up. We are only laying hands on Nathaniel today to affirm what God's already done. So Nathaniel has demonstrated to the elder board and that he has been called and chosen by the Lord, and so that's what we're here today for, to lay our hands upon him for ordination. I was raised in a church where if there was noise, it was disturbing, and it's not disturbing. If there's no baby noises, we're in trouble. Means there's no next generation. So. Don't worry about noises. I can get louder. Paul wrote to Timothy with words that demonstrate how I feel toward Nathaniel. He said to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I think you guys started coming here when you were seven or eight. Look what you did to me. Mark 3:13-15. And he, Jesus, went up on the mountain and called to himself those he wanted, and they came to him. And he ordained the 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. They call us full gospel because we believe in all that stuff. Jesus is our great example in ministry. He established a new order of ministry, first populated by apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, then pastors and teachers. And that's the kind of the natural outflow of sending out apostles, prophets for correction, evangelists for winning people to Christ, pastors for shepherding the flock, and teachers for instruction. And you can kind of see that. It's not a top-down list. It's a shoulder-to-shoulder, side-by-side list. There is no top-down in the kingdom. There's one king, the Lord God, and there's us. Okay. Pastors live with the sheep. In our case, the sheep don't belong to us. They were purchased by the Good Shepherd, and we belong to him. We as ordained pastors function as under-shepherds. We are to be led by Jesus and in turn lead his sheep into green pastures. And so food and water are found in green pastures, and the grass to me represents the scriptures and the flowing streams, the mighty Holy Spirit. So that's our place. We cannot lead sheep to a place we have not been. So we are not called to teach what we know, we are called to teach what we've become. As we behold him in the Spirit and the Scriptures, we reveal what we have seen of him to those under our care, so the learning never stops. 1 Timothy 5:17-22. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially that they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Those that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that the elect angels, that you observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man. That's not saying, you know, that's for ministry. Neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. So when we lay hands on Nathaniel, we do so with fear and trembling. It's an awesome thing to be set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So please note with me the charges of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Honor those who labor among you. He's talking to Timothy, upon whom he laid his hands for ordination. This is not a one-man show. So honor those who labor among you in word and in doctrine. If they need financial assistance, don't neglect their material needs. Don't allow gossip about an elder. If there is a legitimate accusation, only accept it if there are two or three witnesses. Do not show partiality. I'd like to say it this way, love equally. Don't ordain another too quickly, lest if he's engaged in secret sin, it causes harm to you and to the church. 1 Timothy 4:12-16, let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love, in spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So, Nathaniel, don't worry about your age. Don't worry about your experience. Just be an example to all of us in word. I'm just going to say it this way. It matters what comes out of your mouth. If you get that one worked out, pray for me. I'm trying to get delivered of pickling. You finish the sentence. In conduct and characters related to love, spirit, faith, and purity. Give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. And do not neglect the gifts that God has given you. So meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. So you are not perfect, nor will you ever be as we define it. God isn't looking for perfection, he's looking for progress. So as we're moving toward him, that's the goal. That's grace. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So my charge on this statement is take heed to yourself. You are not being ordained to manage the conduct of sheep, just lead them. People that get into sheep management really get into trouble. Biblical leadership is designed to save the shepherd and the sheep. So I think that this final exhortation is an encouragement to finish well.